بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Early on we discussed that in the past the method of reformation was each aspect of character was rectified. Person had jealousy in him, so that jealousy had to be corrected. So one thing was taken individually and corrected. But this procedure requires a lot of time, because jealousy is an abstract thing, it's not a visible thing. It's a visible thing. If there's a dent, then you can, in an hour's time, 2 hours' time, you can just put the dent right. But a thing that is abstract takes time. Sometimes an entire year goes, 2 years goes, just to get it in place. This is a very subtle thing, very discreet thing, and it requires a lot of time, a lot of attention to get it right. Later on, the Buzurgan Adin had seen people don't have that amount of time. And they don't have that morale to give so huge a time to rectify themselves. They can't dedicate so much of time. So, on the one end, you need to rectify, correct. On the other hand, correction requires a lot of time. And they don't have that amount of time. So now, how do we get towards correction? How do we rectify these inner problems, inner sicknesses, jealousy, or ostentation and show, or greed, an excessive greed for wealth, malice, right? Or, for example, becoming impatient, pride and arrogance. So these are all things that need attention, they need to be rectified. If they aren't rectified, see, we need to understand it like this. The basis of character, right? Basis of character. Allah Ta'ala has blessed man with intelligence. Right. So there will be three aspects in this intelligence. One is to see what is right and what is wrong. That would be the first function of intelligence. First function is to see what is right, what is wrong. The power of discretion, power of judgment, that is the first thing, right? Then, when you see a right thing, right? When you see a right, see something right, something good, then what happens to man? Then you want to aspire for it, right? That's natural. You see something good, something right, you want to aspire for it. You see something wrong, you want to defend, you want to protect, you want to guard yourself. So basically there's three powers now. Can you see in the human structure there's three? There's three energies. One energy is to distinguish right from wrong. You're seeing a situation and you can more or less make it out that this is right or this is wrong. Right? Now, to go to either of the extremes is not right. If you go on to one extreme, it will be injustice. Right? And if you go into the other extreme, then it will be ignoring the cause of justice. Right? One is you unjust, you exceeded the limit, you saw something wrong, and you supported the wrong, so that's an act of injustice, right? So it's one extreme. And the other extreme is that you're not concerned about justice at all. Whatever comes your way, you're not worried about justice. So you don't have a value, you don't have a sense. The example for it is, alright, a person abuses, you know, say your parents or somebody abuses, right? So you will definitely come up to the defense. But say, for example, someone doesn't come up to the defense, then you will say that he is not right, right? He has no feelings. His religion is being insulted, his parents are being insulted, and he's got no feelings for them, no respect for them. So that's wrong. And number two is, if, all right, for example, someone is insulted, yeah, he insulted you, right? So when he insulted you, it's an act of injustice, right? So if he's used one swear word against you, and you use 10 swear words, that's wrong. So both the extremes are wrong, and the center part is the part of moderation that we'll call justice, adl. And that's the first thing in man. That's the first power, that you need to get justice right. Then the second power is, when you see something good, then you want to work for it, you want to aspire for it, right? You desire for it. That's the second thing in man. Right? It's something that is connected to lust, then you want to move towards it, right? So then in things of lust, of passion, temptation, there again there is three limits, right? One is, you go mad towards lust. You are absolutely unmindful, you just go mad towards lust and temptation. That's also wrong, because then you won't see halal and haram. Anything of lust, you just move towards it. Whether that woman is halal or haram, so you did not get that right. Anything that your temptation is leading you towards, you're moving towards it. It's wealth, and the lust has the bit over you, temptation has the bit over you, so you're driving for it, right? It's clothing, for example, or food, for example, so your lust and temptation is driving you towards it. You're not concerned whether it's halal or haram, but you're moving towards it, right? So you became a captive of lust and temptation. That's wrong. That's one extreme. The second extreme is, it's lust, but you've broken your lust entirely, completely. There's no lust at all in you. So if there's no lust, then this world can't continue. How are you going to procreate? There must be some lust in you for procreation, right? For maintaining your life, you need to have some lust, some temptation. You'll have lust, you'll have temptation, you'll do a shop, you'll do some business, you'll do something. And this will sustain life on this globe, right? Earth, planet Earth. There's no lust at all, then can you sustain life? You can't sustain life. So now lust, the one extreme is, you are concerned. Halal, haram, indiscriminate, that's one extreme. The other extreme is that you don't have any lust, you broke lust entirely. That's also an extreme. Like how you find that some of these Hindus, they go into some spiritual exercises, right? And they break lust completely. Complete lust is broken out totally, eliminated from the system. So they don't, if a naked woman is in their presence, they're not stirred, they're not moved at all, right? So now you lose your manhood, right? Now that's wrong. You lost your manhood. That's totally wrong. So this extreme is wrong, and that extreme is wrong. So then the moderation, part of moderation, will be called purity, chastity, respect, right? Person is pure. He fulfills his lust, but in a halal way, in a respectable way, with honor, all that. Earning wealth is lust. Right? He's eating good food, that's lust. But he's doing it with moderation. So you call that chastity, purity, respect, honor. So this is, one is intelligence, you understood. Then you had lust. Because the intelligence is going to tell you that this is good. So when it tells you that it is good, then you want to aspire for it. Right? When you aspire for it, then you need to be regulating the lust. And that regulation of the lust will be called chastity and purity. Right? If you don't regulate it, then that is now immorality, right? Immorality, lewdness, shamelessness. And the other extreme, you would say, a man has lost his manhood complete, right? So both is wrong. When a person lost his manhood, or he lost his chastity, right? Both are wrong. So the in-between path, chastity, respect, honor, all the values, right? So the one, this is the second thing. Then the third thing is this. After you have employed your intelligence, right, then you made out what is good and what is harmful. The good you aspire for, and the harmful thing you try and protect yourself, you guard yourself against. Right? You guard yourself against harmful things. So now, when it's a harmful thing, now you have to employ another energy within you. Right? Like lust, you employed one energy to drive you towards lust, right? So there's a third energy within you that you will use and you will employ to guard you against evil or against something that is harmful. Now that energy you call anger, right? Now, something that is spurring you up, right? Is making you, is vexing you, is making you angry, right? Someone spoke out against religion, for example. Now if you got no anger, then that person can do anything, can speak anything about religion, right? And you're not going to respond. So that's not right, right? So one dog came and it messed up the masjid. So you've got no feelings, no anger, nothing in you. What are you going to do? You'll just let it carry on, right? So not to have anger at all, that's also wrong. A lot of situations, for example, alright, it's your wife going past and someone is interfering. You got no anger. Alright, let's be cool. Free for all world. You doing that, I'm doing this. So that also is not right. So it's an occasion, it's a situation where you need to employ anger. It's your wealth, for example, right? And someone is trying to loot. You got no anger. Can you guard your wealth? So can the system of this world continue? It can't continue. So now it's an occasion of anger. Now you have to employ anger. Right? Now in that also there's three levels. The one level is the extremism. A small error the person did and you killed him. Right? He burst your window and you chopped his head. Right? So that's wrong. That's extremist again. That's beyond moderation. When it's beyond moderation, then you'll call that injustice, you'll call it wrong, you'll call it not right, right? So this is the third potential, the third energy that you have within you. If you overstep the mark, then it's wrong. And if you don't respond to a situation of anger, that is also wrong. Right? Now you come right in between, that is called justice. Right? So I explained to you these three things that's within you. Basically you can call it two, right? So in the one you'll call it chastity, self-respect, purity, etc. And the second you'll call it justice, right? Justice, fair play, insaf, adl, all these other words you can use for the same thing. Right? Now, when you talk of character in the broader spectrum, you need to get this type of moderation. Then you'll say that that man's character is complete and his character is perfect. Right? If he doesn't have it, like he's going to one of the extremes, then you'll say there's some imbalance. Right? Now, like you have a physical body, you have a spiritual self. The physical body will be beautiful and attractive when everything is in proportion. Right? If one ear is half size, one ear is full size, will the body look right? No. One hand is 3 feet and the other is 2. Right? Doesn't look right. One person has got polio, for example, so his 1 foot is say 1-2 inches shorter than the other. Right? So then that also doesn't look right. Huh? So in the physical self, the beauty comes when everything is in proportion. Similarly, in the spiritual self, if everything is in proportion, then you will say his spiritual self is beautiful. Right? His spiritual self is beautiful. Now, this is that character that we are looking for. Right? He must have everything in moderation. Chastity, self-respect, self-esteem, etc. He must have it in moderation. And by the same token, he needs to have justice, etc. And he needs to have that as well in absolute moderation. Now you call a complete man. And if he's overstepped the mark, or if he's not done it to that mark that he needs to do it, then you say, oh, this person is missed out. He doesn't have the balance. So like in the physical self, if he didn't have everything with moderation, he won't look nice. Everything wasn't in proportion. He won't look nice, appealing and attractive. Similarly, in the spiritual self, if these things are not in place, then that person won't be looking attractive and beautiful in his spiritual appearance. Understand? So to rectify this spiritual appearance, initially what they did, as I explained early on, they will take one character at a time, one aspect of character. One aspect of character. For example, I said greed, pride, ostentation, show, right? Jealousy, malice, right? So they should take one and they should correct it, rectify it. One thing they should call greed, for example, excessive love for wealth. So that's one problem. Right? When it's a problem, you need to rectify it. Right? You need to bring it to moderation. That love of wealth cannot be eliminated entirely. It can't be eliminated entirely. It's a natural thing, and you're not going to get it eliminated completely. It's going to remain with the human being. It's in your nature. زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ. So wealth, etc., that's within your tabiat, it's within your nature that you're going to have a liking for it. To extract it and to eliminate it from your nature is not going to be possible. Maybe it's suppressed, right? So you can't see the effects of it. But it's there. And if it's got that opportunity there, it will expose itself. Right? Like that spark that is covered over the ash, covered with the ash, right? So it's there. The fire is there. You can't say the fire is totally dead. Yeah, you just give it an opportunity, you'll see that there will be a big flame just now. So similarly, this temptation for wealth, etc., is within us. But just that it is suppressed. It's suppressed with what? With some spiritual exercises, etc. It's suppressed. Right? But you can't now become complacent and say now that that's been totally eliminated and eradicated from my tabiat. It's there. It is within you. So now, initially they used to work on one aspect of character. One aspect of character, they would take it independently and they work on it. And they rectify. But then they found that people don't have the time. They don't have that type of spirit. They don't have that type of morale. Right? But in the meanwhile, you need to get it done. Now it's a complication. You need to get it done. People don't have the morale, they don't have the time, they can't dedicate themselves. So the latter mashayikh, they look for an alternative, how they can come and how they can achieve that same end, the same goal. Right? Initially, like I say, they would take them in the khanqah, put them through the mill, 10 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Right? Now they see that people don't have that steam, they don't have that guts, they don't have that determination, they can't sacrifice. So now you need to get that goal, otherwise the deen won't be right in them. If that goal is not there, that these values are not there in moderation correctly, then he won't be able to practice his deen correctly. Right? So then they looked for an alternative to get the same objectives. Right? To get the same objectives, they looked for an alternative. Right? Now, all these things, you just be a little bit a little bit colorful in your imagination. You're creative in your imagination, you can get a lot of examples for this. Right? For example, we need to sustain life, right? And look at the human population today like it was never before, right? And the human race has become so weak. They can't do the type of work they used to do then, right? They don't have the strength, they don't have the stamina. Nearly all the world, they don't have the stamina to do the type of work that mankind was doing, say, 300 years ago. They can't do it today. So on the one end, you need to sustain life. Right? In order to sustain life, you need to work hard. And they don't have the strength to do the type of hard work. They don't have the stamina. Right? So Allah Ta'ala found an alternative for mankind. He saw an alternative. Now technology, machinery, all that. With all that now, life is being sustained. Right? See that life has to be sustained. You don't have the stamina for sustaining life. So then what Allah Ta'ala said, alright, let me show you another way that you will be able to sustain life. Now motor cars, machines, what have you, all these things now, they help in sustaining life. Right? So similarly, these values have to be got, right? When these values have to be got in the level of moderation, and man doesn't have that type of determination and that type of willpower to bring that, you know, he doesn't have that type of heart to give that amount of dedication. So now Allah Ta'ala inspired the hearts of these mashayikh, alright, take them from a different way. They can't do it this way, so we'll show them an easier route, how they can get to similar ends. So they say, alright, what you do is, you engage yourself in abundant zikr. Get into zikr, right? And do it in abundance. Do it in abundance. Now when they talk of zikr, they don't refer to any specific type of zikr, right? It doesn't mean now when you talk of zikr that it must be nafi isbat with striking of the head. There's now in the earlier days, they used to give different, they used to prescribe many different types of zikrs. They had names for it, for example, Sultanul Askar, Haddadi, all that, right? Pas and Fas. So they used to give these names for the different type of prescriptions, right? So you don't have to go by any particular type of zikr. The idea is to get the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala so deep within you that it's permeated your entire body. Your whole blood, your whole vessel, every nerve and tissue is filled with the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. Right? When that zikr has penetrated and permeated your body so much, right, that is why everything is coming in place. Now you become the true reflection of the qualities of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala's qualities, for example, of justice. So you become just. His qualities to be pure, right, true. So you become a truthful person, you become an honest person, right? So now you become a reflection of the quality of Allah Ta'ala on account of that abundant zikr that you are making, understand? Now, as I explained, that zikr doesn't have to be done in one particular way, right? Some methods of zikr were done previously. People don't have the stamina for it now. If you're going to use the same methods, then perhaps someone may get a mental or nervous breakdown. For example, they should do Sultanul Askar, right? Now the Sultanul Askar is, you hold your breath, right? And within your heart, within your mind, you say La ilaha illallah in one breath. Then you bring it up. Then in the second breath, you say La ilaha illallah. And then you say, within your mind you say La ilaha illallah twice whilst holding the breath. Then in the third breath you say La ilaha illallah within the mind three times. And you bring it up, that is you train yourself and you bring it up until in one breath you can say La ilaha illallah 120 times. Right? But now people don't have the stamina for that. They don't have that strength for that. Right? When that Qari Abdul Basit came here, 1963 or 62. So, comfortably he will recite the 99 names of Allah Ta'ala in one single breath and with tajweed and everything. Are you going to try and see if you can do it? 99 names of Allah Ta'ala in a single breath. And comfortably, relaxed, comfortably with tajweed and everything. Now he must have trained himself And he brought himself to the level where he could get that in one in one breath. Right. So now people don't have the stamina. When they don't have the stamina, now what do? See? So the idea is that when you're going to, there's going to be an abundance of zikr. Now in the human body there's two dimensions. One is the spiritual side and one is the physical. So with the abundance of zikr, what's going to happen? The spiritual self will be prevailing over the physical self. Right? The spiritual self will become very strong. Right? It'll become so strong that you don't require so much of the physical to continue with life. Like you're seeing Rosa now, right? In our Rosas, on an average, most of us are eating about half of what we eat on normal days. Right? Although the varieties are so much. Right? Varieties are so much. But on an average, right, you eat of half of what you used to eat. And if anybody is eating more than that, he's not eating because he's hungry, but because of the variety. The variety is so appealing that he wants to do justice to everything and bring injustice to himself. Right? So it's not because he needs the food. No, it's not that. So that just shows that spiritual self has become strengthened. When it becomes strengthened, that it doesn't require so much. Though he is doing even more, he is more active. I think 20 rakats of namaz, one and a half sipar of Quran Sharif, 20 rakats of namaz, then tahajjud, awabin, then sitting and reciting Quran Sharif. So much more than what he was doing before, and with less energy. So that is because the spiritual self has become strengthened. Right? So when that spiritual self becomes strengthened, then the physical self becomes weakened down. Right? Then you don't require so much of the physical self. And then to control and regulate the physical self is easier. Right? Now that the physical self is saying, do this, so the spiritual self is restraining. It's easier now. The taqaza and the urge towards that type of lust, temptation, etc. is not as it was earlier on. Before it was lust, like it was mad. Anything comes your way and you want to do it. Right. Now, you've got that restraint, you've got the strength, you've got that ability to hold yourself back. Right. So this is because that spiritual self in you has come to that level. Like you say, a lot of people, you know, just lower your gaze, and just control your tongue. So no, I can't manage it, can't lower the gaze. Hey, that thing is so captivating now. And he's, he said, lower my gaze front of that also. How can I do it? So initially he feels it's impossible. But when the spiritual self has become so strong, now that appeal is not there, not as what it used to be. When that appeal is controlled, is not as what it used to be. Right? So you can have a lot of discipline. Right? So that's why they have recommended zikr, abundance of zikr, and I say it doesn't have to be any particular type of zikr. Right? This aspect has to be discussed, inshallah, some other time. But one important thing, you see, one is the nafs and the other is shaitan. Right? And the shaitan, he had vowed that he will mislead. آتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ مِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ. And what he says to Allah Ta'ala, he says, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. That was his vow. And that he put his hands onto the pulse of human being. He put the hands on the pulse. He knows the weak point. When he knows the weak point, then he knows how to destroy. I mean, this is his weak point, right? And how to get him. Right? Like, you'll hear of the superpowers, right? They want to destroy someone, right? So how they destroy him? They try and work out what is the weak point. So the weak point will be what? Woman. Woman or wealth. So they will somehow get him involved in a woman. And then they will discreetly, they will video him. So they got him taped. That was the human weakness, and they they perceived it that this is human weakness. When they perceived it's human weakness, so they got him. Now they can then manipulate him, they can maneuver his life in the direction they want. So Shaitan, similarly, he perceived human weakness. He understood human weakness, what is the weakness, where it stems from. Where it stems from basically is قَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Allah also says it, قَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. That my thankful servants are very, very minimum, very, very little, small percentage of my servants are thankful. Right? And Shaitan said, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Most of them, you will find them to be ungrateful. So Shaitan also said it, he put his hands onto the pulse, he understood. And this is the human weakness. Right? So, one way now then to treat yourself is to look at the aspects of the favors of Allah Ta'ala that are raining upon you all the time. All the time. The favors and the bounties, the grace of Allah Ta'ala that Allah is showering on you all the time. Murad Desai, when he makes his dua, so he says, Allah Ta'ala, we kept on eating of your favors. And then we built our energy with the same favors of yours. And then with that energy that we built, we use it in your disobedience. Right, isn't it? We eat of your favors, and with the favors we build energy. If you starve a person for 4 days, see, he'll have any lust for a woman? No, lust is broken, finish. Starve him, no food. Say, leave all the woman, now get food first. Right. So that energy we have eaten, right, and we build energy. And then energy then is being employed for the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. Right. So now, what we need to do is, we need to identify what's the basis of our problem. The basis of our problem is we don't show gratitude. We aren't thankful, right? We don't show appreciation. That's the basis of our problem, right? Right. So when we understand the basis of our problem, then we need to understand and we need to think now, how do we become grateful to Allah Ta'ala? So in that there's two components. How to become grateful to Allah Ta'ala, there is two basic components, right? The one component that will bring this gratitude, appreciation, gratefulness, it will come into us, is we reflect and we talk about it, right? We think about it, we talk about it, right? Right. For example, now, whilst we are sitting on our own, or whilst we are lying down, then we think, alright, we are the creation of Allah Ta'ala, right? All of us. We are His creation. And Allah Ta'ala got millions of creation in the sea, in the earth. Allah Ta'ala has got millions of types of creations. And His authority is unquestionable. His authority is unquestionable. You can't question His authority. Right? Then, in spite of His authority being unquestionable, etc., whatever, Allah Ta'ala made us into the forms of human beings. Who could have stopped Him from creating us in the form of swines or asses? Could anybody stop Him? Nobody could have stopped Him. His authority is unquestionable. Nobody can come and restrain His authority. But then it was His grace. He said, "All right, I won't make Him a swine, for example, that everybody will despise Him. Everybody will look down upon Him. And he will live out of sewage and dirt. I won't make him so base and so low that he'll have to live out of dirt and filth." Now Allah Ta'ala could have done that. Had it been His will, He could have created us in the form of snakes. And anybody seeing you, they want to kill you, they want to throw a stone at you, they want to hit you, right? Had it been His will, He could have made you a donkey, people could have whacked you the whole day. Made you work in the fields, right? Or any other creation like that. But then Allah Ta'ala made you the supreme creation, man, right? Human being. He made you supreme being. So that you'd be thankful about that. Right? Then Over and above that, then he made you millions of Allah Pak's creation all throughout the world, right? Someone is Buddhist, someone is worshipping an idol, right? Someone is worshipping a statue, someone is actually worshipping urine, right? You'd have all these type of things. One Hindu had his idol there, and they have a style, they have a certain type of worship that they go and offer water, milk, etc. They go and offer it to the idol, go and pour it over it, so it's an offering they made, right? And normally the Banya Hindu is a very miserly person, so he needs to make an offering. The cheapest thing is water. So this, I made my offering also, I made Qurbani. But what? One bucket of water he gave it, finish. So he made his offering and he went. And he had hardly gone, one dog came, and he lifted up his one leg, and he urinated. So that Mulana told a Hindu friend of his, "You see what the dog is doing to your idol, to your god." He said, "No, leave that dog, man. That thing is also making its offering. That thing is also making its offering." Right? So if Allah Ta'ala world, he could have made us Hindus, Buddhists, whatever, he could have made us, right? Christians, whatever. Then it is again the favor of Allah Ta'ala that he didn't make us from that group. Otherwise there couldn't be anybody, any authority that could prevent Allah Ta'ala from making us such people as well, right? So, then over and above now, then he made us Muslims, right? All these things need to be analyzed, need to analyze it in your mind. He made us Muslims. And then there are all of the Muslims that are not practicing. Don't you see, you hear of Muslims in the month of Ramadan, and openly they can eat, they can go and enjoy themselves. They are concerned about it. About 3 years ago, one person came here and he says, speaks about one very popular place, I think in Musgrave, you know, like a coffee shop and all that. A whole group of Muslims in the Ramadan, around the 24th, 25th Roza, openly they are enjoying themselves. Openly they are enjoying themselves. So if Allah Ta'ala willed, he could have made us from that group. Who could have stopped him? Who could have stopped him? Nobody could have stopped him. It's not of our own achievement that we are here. No, it is his grace again. Right? So now you're taking it one step at a time, right? Then again it was his grace that he stopped us from all this. Alright, he allowed us to keep rozas. But then there are those that are fasting, they're performing the namaz, but they're not in etikaf, they're not giving most of the time in the masjid. Right? Not that they are sinners, but they aren't dedicating the time like how you are dedicating the time. Right? So Allah Ta'ala made us of those people that are dedicating the time. So can you see how much of favors? How much of favors of Allah Ta'ala we are enjoying at this moment? How many favors of Allah Ta'ala? We just need to analyze, reason within ourselves. Right? So one easy way to get this going is as we are going to sleep, you know, lying down, and then we enumerate the favors of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, you've been so kind to me, you've done this for me. Allah Ta'ala, you've given me my daily bread. Allah Ta'ala, I have got a shop, you've sent the customers to my shop, right? Allah Ta'ala, you allowed me to eat, and I'm eating and I'm digesting also comfortably. I don't have any problems and complications. Allah Ta'ala, I'm thankful to you for that. But it's even, in fact, better to say it a little bit audibly. To say it audibly a little bit, it's better, otherwise you'll fall asleep just now. Right? So you say it as you're going to sleep, and you're saying it. And maybe your children will hear, they will say, "Abba, what are you doing? Abba, who are you talking to?" You can explain them as well. So they also are becoming grateful. They are becoming grateful. Now when a person sleeps with gratitude, with appreciation, that's the last thing that is in his tongue, and he sleeps in that way, then he gets up the following morning, he gets up bright. He gets up bright with a new spirit, with new life and a new enthusiasm he gets up with. While he's going to sleep, and he's going up to sleep with thanks, with appreciation, "Labak, I'm so thankful, I'm so happy for what you have done." He's going to sleep happily. So when he will get up in the morning, he will get up happily, cheered up, nice, he'll feel nice. So apart from it being a great worship, you yourself will be benefiting out of it. Even physically you'll be benefiting out of it. Right? So now the one way to combat and overcome this problem, Shaitan identified the problem in us, that you people are not grateful, right? Identified. So now we learn gratitude in this way, appreciation in this way. Right? And the second element to make this gratitude complete, right, is to use the favor of Allah Ta'ala correctly. Whoever has been kind to you, to use his favors correctly. Right? If your wife has given you a Ferrari, right, top of the range, 10 million job, huh? Top of the range she gave you, right? Now you take the car and flirt around with other girls and show her, you know, put all the girlfriends there and go and show her what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Is that showing any type of appreciation to your wife? It's hers, right? She bought it for you. She gave it to you. And now you're doing this to her. Is that right? How will she feel? Say, I will never, this man here, he's not worth his salt. This is the appreciation he gives to me. So I'll never give him anything in future. Now look at it in retrospect. These two eyes are more valuable than a million Ferraris, right? Right? Now how much don't we abuse them? And Allah allows us to continue enjoying them, enjoying the favors in spite of the fact that we go on and on and on abusing them. Don't we? It's His favors. It's a priceless favor. You can't attach a price to it. You're supposed to be using it in a way that will please Him. Now the same car, for example, like your wife gave it to you. So you brought some gifts for her, some bouquet of flowers for her, something. Now she feels, you know, this man, at least he appreciates. I gave him something and he's returning, he's replying favorably, right? So similarly, use that eyes in a way that will be pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, you'll say it's grateful. He's appreciative. But now you're using the same eyes of Allah Ta'ala's, but you're using it in the incorrect way. Right? So that's not showing gratitude. So these two components go together to make up gratitude, appreciation, and thanks. It goes together. One is to say it verbally, and one is to behave and conduct yourself also with appreciation. So when you've got that, at least you've broken the backbone of Shaitan. Shaitan said that you will see to it that most of mankind is ungrateful. Now you broke his backbone by saying, no, I'll be grateful. So now, he can't have any type of authority over you, he can't manipulate, he can't turn you to the direction that he wishes. Why? Now you've been grateful to Allah Ta'ala. You've been grateful to Allah Ta'ala, to people. For all the favors that you enjoy, you are grateful. So now Shaitan doesn't have a way to manipulate. He doesn't have a way to operate from you. So at least we start off with this one thing. Learn to be grateful, learn to show appreciation. And at least we'll crack and break the Shaitan's backbone. And we'll have something to start off from. Allah Ta'ala tawfiq nasib.